morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, church. It's November, and today we're beginning a new series here at Pittman Park called Thanking Through It. Now, I've got to admit, thinking is how I usually get through it, right? I like to think through things. I'm quiet sometimes because I'm thinking through it. And what I've found in my life is that when I'm thinking through it, whatever it happens to be, I begin to get some anxiety and some nervousness. Have you ever experienced this? Like you begin to think about whatever it is, whatever it may be, whatever it is that you're struggling with, and suddenly fear begins to creep in, anxiety begins to creep in, and I think that I'm probably not alone when it comes to that feeling and those sentiments. As we approach Thanksgiving, by the way, Thanksgiving is the next holiday. Are you aware? Don't believe what Hobby Lobby says. Valentine's Day has not yet arrived, or Christmas. Thanksgiving is next. It's a day that we get to think about what we are thankful for. And this season, these next few weeks, is a great opportunity for us to focus on the power of gratitude and to develop the habit of being thankful even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. Now, we all know it's easy to be thankful whenever things are going well, when life is sort of sailing along smoothly. It's easy to be thankful when everything is going our way. But Paul, in his words in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, he gives us these words. He gives us this instruction. And I'll tell you why he writes these words to this church in just a few moments. But I want you to focus in on them with me for just a second. Paul writes, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you and for me and for us in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to make sure that you get this. So can we put that next slide up there? We're going to do a little back and forth this morning. I'm going to read this scripture, but as we get to the words in yellow, if y'all will say them, okay? I'm counting on you to make this sound good, okay? It's the participatory part of the service. So here we go. Rejoice.
Always.
Pray.
Continually.
Give thanks.
For
this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now I want us to go back to that part about giving thanks. Because sometimes we just blaze right through that. We just give thanks in all circumstances. Let's try it again. I'm going to say give thanks, and I want you to respond. Give thanks.
In all circumstances.
In some circumstances?
All circumstances.
In all circumstances. In every season of life, in every moment, in every triumph and trial and tragedy, God calls us to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks. Now, let me be clear. This isn't a call to ignore the difficulties that we face in life. This is not a call for us to just gloss over the hurt and the pain. We're not to put on some sort of spiritual or reality blinders that keep us from seeing what's actually going on inside of us and around us. No, this is an invitation for us to look deeper, to acknowledge the reality of the struggles that we face, and to trust in God's faithfulness, to embrace a life that is shaped by gratitude, by thankfulness. When Paul writes these words to the community at Thessalonica, in the northern part of Greece and Macedonia, if you're looking at a map, there's three little fingers that stick down. Thessalonica is right up there. This community, this newly formed body of Christ, they're facing persecution from the Roman government. they're facing very real danger. They are literally seeing members of their community being dragged away by Roman authorities. They're seeing others, because of what's happening in the community, beginning to fall away from their faith. They're stepping back and saying, maybe this isn't for me. The circumstances seem too great, too dangerous. Not only that, but they're beginning to see members of their community die. And their belief was that Christ was coming imminently, that any day Christ was going to return. So this community is demoralized. They're broken inside and outwardly. And Paul writes 1 Thessalonians to help them restore their hope and to remind them of the posture that they are to take and that we are to take as we go throughout our lives. Paul says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. That is powerful and challenging instruction. It's powerful because it can reorient our perspective. It's challenging because, friends, it is hard to do. How can we always rejoice, pray without ceasing, and give thanks no matter what? I hope to help you some today with that. But to rejoice always doesn't mean that we're supposed to feel happy in every moment. No. Rejoicing always is about choosing joy. It's a perspective and focusing on God's unchanging love, mercy, and grace, even when life feels overwhelming. And life is going to feel overwhelming at points. There are going to be moments in the middle of the storms where you don't know which way to turn, and you can choose to shrink, or you can choose to put your trust in the one who speaks stillness to the storm and calm to our hearts. When I find myself being overwhelmed in life, one of the things that is helpful for me is to be intentional about being observant. I like to say it this way: being intentional about my intention, about my attention. Hard times and tough circumstances often cause us to hyper-focus and to center our lives around whatever it is that we happen to be going through. This sickness, this disease, this brokenness in our life, or this brokenness in our family, we begin to hyper-focus and fixate so that everything, every bit of our attention goes towards that thing, whatever it might be. But don't miss it, friends. Our God is bigger than the challenge that's before us. Our God is reigning on the throne. And if we'll lift our eyes from the brokenness and the heartache and the pain that is before us and fix our eyes on Him, we will see the many blessings that God has poured out on our lives. The first and greatest of them is life and salvation through Jesus Christ, the one who conquers our sin and death and opens up eternity to us. Friends, this is the first and the greatest gift, but it's not the only one. Sometimes in the church, I don't know that you can be too focused on Christ's life, death, and resurrection and its effects on us, but we miss out on all the other ways that God has blessed us. We miss out on the subtle ways that God's grace has drawn us back to Him, the quiet ways He's spoken hope into our hearts, the nearly silent and invisible ways that He's blessed us and surrounded us. Here's the thing, friends. We have a choice. We can choose what we give our attention to. We can choose where we look in tough times. And it can help us develop the capacity to be thankful if we're intentional about our attention. When life is going wide open, when you feel like you're going to be overwhelmed at any moment, I encourage you to sit back for just a second. Just take a deep breath. Maybe go and sit in your car. Maybe this is just me. I do this occasionally. I'll go and sit in my truck. At that time of day when the sun just comes through the windshield and it's kind of warm in there, it's like sitting in a hug. And that moment reminds me of God's presence in my life. Just those few moments, feeling the sun and the warmth. Maybe you need to take a moment to watch the sunrise. or a ride to sing praise to God, or just get out of the office or out of the house for a moment to take a short walk to help reframe your perspective. Doing so will help you be intentional about your attention. What are you paying attention to when you face trials of many kinds? Then Paul says, pray continually. Now, this isn't just about reciting words all day long, although if you would like some ancient prayers to pray, I will be happy to supply you. There are plenty out there that can buoy you in the midst of the storm and give you hope when you don't have words to speak. But prayer isn't just about reciting words, but keeping our hearts turned toward God, inviting God into every part of our lives, our struggles, our joys, our uncertainties, and our anxieties. When we choose to let God into every moment, prayer becomes like breathing. It's something that we can carry with us in every moment. And that kind of prayer is not often complex or deeply eloquent. Often that kind of prayer, that breathing, that breath sort of prayer is simple, but it's poignant. And it can reorient us. Praying continually reminds me of the story of Nehemiah. You remember just a few weeks ago, we were in a series called The Good Work, where we were looking at Nehemiah's story. If you go back into his story and read over now that short book again, you'll see that Nehemiah prays again and again and again. That before the king offers him the opportunity to go back home, Nehemiah says a short prayer. He basically says, Lord, give me the words to speak in this moment to this king so that I can be a blessing to my people, so that I can go and bring them hope. He says a short prayer, but that short prayer is undergirded by months of prayer leading up to that moment, months of seeking God's presence, months of fasting. He was disciplined in his daily prayer life so that in the moment when it was critical, he could take a heartbeat and say, Lord, give me the words. And then speak the word of God to the king. That kind of prayer, though short, is impactful on the world and on us. It transforms us. It makes us frame things in the right sort of way. Finally, Paul encourages us to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, let me be clear here, not for every circumstance. You catch the difference? But in every circumstance. I'm going to be honest, some circumstances stink, right? Some circumstances are terrible. Some circumstances weigh us down and burden us. We don't give thanks for the circumstance, but we can give thanks in the circumstance. Even in our toughest seasons when life is confusing and painful, we're invited to give thanks. Why? Because thankfulness reminds us of God's presence with us. When we focus on what we're grateful for, what we've been blessed with, we begin to see God's faithfulness in new and profound ways in our lives. One reason gratitude is powerful is that just like rejoicing in prayer, it changes our perspective. In the midst of hardship, it's tempting, again, to focus on what's wrong, what's lacking, or what we wish were different. But when we practice gratitude, when we practice thankfulness, we begin to notice the good things, the gifts, the blessings that are all around us, even in the hardest times. Gratitude is like a pair of glasses that helps us see the world around us with fresh eyes. Do y'all remember the movie National Treasure? Remember that movie? If you haven't seen National Treasure, take an afternoon nap and watch it. All right, so National Treasure. There's this great moment in that movie. They're at Independence Hall, Nicolas Cage, and they're climbing up on top of the building there, and they're looking for a particular brick because it's got a key to help them find this hidden treasure. And so they get to that brick. They finally find the brick, and they pull it out from what looks like a chimney, and inside the brick are a pair of glasses. Do you remember what happens next? Well, when you put the glasses on and you look at the back of the Constitution, Suddenly there's a treasure map that's there, something that you had never seen before but was there all along that no one had detected was suddenly apparent and clear. Friends, gratefulness, thankfulness gives us that kind of vision to see blessing in the midst of hardship and provision in the midst of pain. Thankfulness is the key. Gratitude is the way. But it doesn't come naturally often, especially in our world today. We sometimes lack the capacity in our world to give thanks. We forget that none of us got here on our own. Instead, we stand on a foundation laid by others. That's why for the next month, we're going to focus on thanking through it. Because thankfulness, friends, is a choice. There are moments in all of our lives when we have to choose to be thankful, which means that thankfulness is really a discipline. It's a habit that we choose, especially when our circumstances don't inspire it. We have to be disciplined in being thankful. So to help you and to help me build a habit of thankfulness in the midst of the challenges of life, I want to introduce you to a daily exercise, and I hope that you'll do this all throughout this month. And if you've done it throughout this month, you can carry it on in December and beyond. It's called the 1-2-3 Challenge. And this is just a simple practice to help us notice God's faithfulness each and every day. Here's how it works. One is this. Write down one thought that threatens your joy. Write down one thought that threatens your joy. What thought, what worry is stealing your peace and robbing you of the joy that God would want you to live in? Maybe it's unresolved conflict. Maybe it's stress in your family or in your workplace. Maybe you're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Or maybe it's even just something small that's been nagging at you and tugging at your spirit for a while now. I want you to acknowledge that thing. Whatever it may be, that thought, that circumstance, acknowledge it. Write it down. Say it out loud. Because here's the thing, if you can take that thought captive, if you can name that circumstance, by that simple action, you begin to take its power away from dominating your life. If you can say out loud that thing that is stealing your joy, you can begin to find freedom from it. After you've named that thought, that circumstance that's stealing your joy, then name two things to pray for. Bring two things to God that are weighing on your heart. These might be personal needs. They might be people you love. It might be what you need in the situations where you long to see God move. Prayer, friends, it aligns our hearts with God's will. And it's in bringing these things to Christ that we release control, trusting God to work in ways that we might not yet see. So name that thing. And then write down two things to pray for. Then finally, write down three things to be grateful for. Write down three things that you are thankful for. They can be big or small. Maybe it's the love of your family. Maybe it was the sunrise that you caught on your commute into work this morning. Maybe it's that cup of coffee that woke you up and smelled so great. Maybe it's simply a hug that you received. By practicing gratitude daily, friends, we learn to see God's faithfulness even in ordinary moments. We learn to see God's provision, even in the midst of the pain. Let's do a quick exercise just to put this in practice. I'll give you an example this morning. Imagine you start your day and the first thing on your mind is a stressful situation at work that feels overwhelming. That's your one thought that's threatening your joy. Next, you bring two things to pray for. Maybe it's wisdom for how to handle the situation and strength to make it through the day with a positive attitude. Then finally, you write down the three things that you're grateful for: your family, a friend's encouragement, and the opportunity to be gainfully employed. what you do is you outnumber in those moments that thing that steals your joy with prayer and with gratitude. And as you do this each day, what you'll start to notice is how even a few moments of gratitude can shift your focus. When we acknowledge our struggles, bring our needs to God, and remember our blessing, our hearts soften, our minds clear, and our faith deepens. And we begin to cultivate a heart that is thankful. Growing up, my grandfather had an acre that he would plant every year. He had a garden in the backyard of my grandmother and grandfather's house. Today, that garden grows grass. Do you know why? Because it's not cultivated. The soil hasn't been turned up. Seeds haven't been planted. They haven't been watered. It just grows grass. And if you don't mow the grass, you know what else it grows? Weeds, thorns, all kind of icky things, right? Things with stickers and spikes. But do you know what that acre of land has the potential to do? You can grow cucumbers out there, and cabbage, broccoli, pole beans, rutabagas, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes. That's a different, some of y'all got that. The difference between now and then is that that ground is not cultivated. I think the same is true in our hearts, friends. Part of the reason why we aren't a thankful people anymore is that we haven't taken time to cultivate a heart of thankfulness, of gratefulness. We're so used to living in a culture that takes and snatches and steals that we've forgotten to be a thankful people. Let's take this month to cultivate a heart that is grateful to God for all the blessings that God has poured out in our lives. Let's use this 1-2-3 challenge, not as a magic formula, but as a tool to help us be more faithful and more thankful. So as we begin this series, let's commit to doing this each day of the week. And let's see how God works through this simple act of gratitude so that we can live in to Paul's instruction to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for us, for you and for me, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because God and his will for us is good. But if we'll turn to him, this path will lead us not only to a deeper relationship with Christ, but one that fills our heart with hope, even in the darkest times. So let's start thanking through it, remembering that God is with us every single step of the way, faithful and true. May our hearts be filled with gratitude as we journey together, trusting in his love and in his grace. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Lord, forgive us for forgetting to say thank you. Teach us, God, to be a grateful people who not only know the blessing of salvation that comes through Jesus, but who see the provision of God in every moment and second of life. Help us to be a people, God, who when the world around us is filled with darkness, we can keep our eyes raised toward the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That this world and this kingdom will one day be no more because your kingdom is coming. A kingdom that will be everlasting. A kingdom that will make all things new. A kingdom where there is no more heartache, or crying, or pain. For a new order has come to be. Until that day, Lord, help us to rejoice. Help us to pray and help us to give thanks, for this is your will for us. This we pray in the powerful and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.